The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. And Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. It's a fun week here as we bear down on the holidays and the festivities that are come. Today is Festivus. Are you a Festivus celebrator, Jeffrey?
Obviously, Festivus for the rest of us. As a Seinfeld fan, you have to be.
Yeah, exactly. The
airing of the grievances, of course.
Airing of the grievances. And we have some grievances. We do have, after this weekend of sports, we do have some grievances. Now, today is a special Jeff Calkins show. Not your typical Monday Jeff Calkins show, because it's the last show of 2024 for us, because then we're off for a little bit of a break, and then the thing is, we're so chocked with bowl games and whatnot,
and you need to hear them,
and you do need to hear them, and maybe some will be competitive, Jeffrey.
Fingers crossed.
I suspect some may be competitive, and so we'll be back when you all come back in the start of the new year in 2025. But what that means is we have to cram a lot into this show, including Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and a special edition Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday, because it kind of crept up on us that this was going to be the last show. That kind of crept up on us that last week's Fish on Friday, on Tuesday was the last of the year. And, of course, Charles, never wanting to stop talking, he found this appalling that he didn't get
warned.
He didn't get notice of this in advance. And so we scheduled a special Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday today, to give him the last word on 2024. We'll also, they debated whether to do this. We'll do the fight song roundup in the next segment. I got a special request I'll tell you about later for a fight song over the weekend. I appreciate that the listeners feel free to, you know, send in their
requests.
Yes, song out to kind of thing, dedications, their long distance dedications. So we'll do that.
Are we Delilah?
So we'll do that in the next. Is Delilah still doing her thing?
I hope so. I have no idea, but God, I hope so.
Delilah. And so anyway, we'll do the fight song roundup when we'll talk about all the college football that transpired over the weekend. And then we will have Chris Harrington on to talk about the Grizzlies. They play the Clippers tonight. Right here, and then we will have Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday. I had a lovely weekend, Jeffrey. I went after the Tigers game, which was so discouraging on Saturday. We'll get to that in a moment. I went to Tom Lee Park. They were having this typical campy, dopey thing for me to do, but I had such a good time. They had a Christmas sing-along in Tom Lee Park.
Okay.
And
is this like you reliving your caroling days?
It wasn't. Well, and I'll be doing some caroling, evidently.
Of course.
I'm flying to Connecticut, and we're going to do some caroling there. But it's a thing they're going to be doing. First of all, like, putting aside that whatever you wanted, whatever people think of Tom, whatever, the new park is beautiful.
Oh, totally agree.
The new park is beautiful. Now, it was cold on Saturday, so there weren't a lot of people there, but they had this deal where they had hot chocolate and tea, and they had arranged for a singer and to be there, and people gathered, and it was not a big crowd. I'd say 40 of us, maybe, went through some of the old favorites, and there was a song leader, and then they had another microphone that they passed around, and I have to say...
Did they take requests?
I chimed in on the All I Want for Christmas Is You.
There you go.
With a few stanzas. And so that
you
was...
You closed your eyes, you could hear Mariah.
So that was fun. And the truth of the matter is, although the college football... Well, let's be... A lot of stuff was painful, including my Bills game yesterday. Oh, my God, that was excruciating.
Win's a win, Jeff. We don't apologize for winning.
Even though the college football was excruciating, was anticlimactic, and you called this last week. The matchups were, in the end, they gave us what they gave us.
Yep.
Beats the hell out of not having them.
Well, also,
you know what I mean. Like,
also, shout out to every fan base. I thought the stadiums, the atmospheres,
great,
awesome,
great, and it wasn't the showing the Tennessee team wanted.
Yeah,
you know, a little bit. There's some similarities there between Memphis basketball and Tennessee football
sure.
over the weekend. Yet the Tennessee football fans showing up in Columbus. They did their job.
You are not responsible for what the team does.
It was impressive. It was damn impressive. And there were a lot of takes that resulted from the college football weekend that I did not agree with at all. But one of them was, too many teams. What, you want to just not have these games? You look, and I think Giannotto tweeted this. You look back at what was happening on whatever, the December 22nd
yep.
last year, and it was a crappy-ass bowl game
yep.
that nobody cared about.
Some of us might have.
I
probably did.
All of these games will not always be bad, and even, I'll be honest, even in their one-sidedness, like, I thought Ohio State-Tennessee, really interesting game.
Sure.
Really interesting game. And Nico had the touchdown to make it a little close at half. Like, you're like, oh, okay. But maybe
look
on
Ryan Day's face right after. When they made it 21-10, I was like,
you're like, maybe. Okay, well, maybe this will be interesting. But it was a beat the hell out of what we used to have. So don't tell me there's too many teams and we need fewer of these games. That's ridiculous. Indeed, if we had had more of these games, some of the teams that were complaining loudly over the weekend might have been in and had a chance to shoot their shot. So I personally like it being decided on the field, even if it is decided in one-sided fashion on the field. So of the various takes that people had about the first weekend of the playoffs, the one that I objected to, I would say most clearly was, we don't need this.
Yeah, I was with you. I think it's work in process.
Of course it's like, work in process. We'll get to ways
it
should be
But we saw some
better.
Elements of, oh, this can work.
Well, in fact, one of the things that I think, given how much fun and the scenes on the on-campus 100%. Stadiums, I actually question, like, Oregon's not going to get to have that.
Yeah.
Like the one seeds don't get to have this.
Well, I do think one of the, if we want to talk big picture takes, I do think what we saw is, there was a questioning of whether or not a home game would be a real advantage. I think we clearly saw
a massive advantage. We'll talk more about college football in the next segment. Have you finished your shopping? Have you started your shopping?
Jeff, go on.
I got an extra day.
I was expecting to have to work tomorrow.
That's true.
I got a freebie.
That's true. Anyway, all right, we'll get to the college football next. Again, Chris Harrington and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Among the things, I don't know if Fish on Friday on Tuesday is going to talk about this at all, but the breaking news today is Matt Gaetz paid for sex, Jeffrey.
No way, really?
Yeah, Matt Gaetz paid for ethics panel report. And let's be clear, the Republicans run the House, so this isn't like a one-sided whatever else. He regularly paid for sex, used illegal drugs, and had sex with a 17-year-old girl.
Was that wrong? I got to plead ignorance.
This falls under the Festivus stuff. Mm-hmm. And
should I have not done that?
And he regularly paid women, how much do we have? details here. We'll skip the details. It's Christmas, ladies.
So you think he might have withdrawn his name for reason?
So that's the breaking news today. I don't know whether Fishman's going to touch on that or not. But there you go. Let's start of the two basketball teams in town, Jeffrey.
All right.
Let's start with the good news.
Okay.
I will make this argument.
I'm listening.
I think the Grizzlies almost aren't getting enough attention for what they're doing.
I agree with your premise, but I'm good with it. I don't.
Okay, nationally, that's fine. I think even locally, they're not getting enough attention. They're a freaking wagon.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just destroying people. And we're so, we focus on and take apart and diagnose teams that struggle and whether Memphis football should have won more and whether Memphis basketball, what are they? Are they what they look like against Clemson? And meanwhile, the Grizzlies are a freaking wagon. They go to Atlanta. No Ja Morant, put up 43 points in the first quarter and cruise. They have won 4 of 5, and if Drew Hill pointed out at the Daily Memphian, in those wins, now it helps that you win one by 51. In those wins, they are averaging 27.8 points. The margin of victory is by 27.8. No Ja, no problem. Scottie Pippen, 22 points, 9 assists. Desmond Bane. And that's one of the things you'd like to see is, this is all great. When's Dez going to be Dez again? Well, Dez with 23, hit 4 threes. That was great. Edie started again, played 27 minutes. And tonight they got the Clippers. Ja is not on the injury report. Marcus Smart is out. And Jay Huff is out. We also got the Vince Williams news that he's going to be back in 3 or 6 weeks. But they are a freaking wagon. Absolute wagon. In fact, I saw this from Keith
Parrish,
who is Fast Break Breakfast on Twitter. And he said, if you look at the highest point differentials over any 20-game span in NBA history, in other words, you won by what? You know, you won by your the highest in any 20-game span was the Lakers in 72. There was 20 games in 72 where they won by a cumulative 330 points, okay, right? For example, they went on to win the championship. And next one, Lakers in Milwaukee had a period during their championship year when Kareem was on the team. They won the championship. They had a 20-game span when they were plus 320. Anyway, he goes through this, and of the top 30 of these, there you see towards the end, the Grizzlies are in there twice, okay? Because it depends whenever you start. You can have a 20-game span that begins after game 19.
I also have a quick update for you. Desmond Bane has been downgraded to questionable with an illness tonight.
Illness tonight.
That's from Grizz PR.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. It's too bad. Too bad. Is it going around? I'd say it's going around. Is it going around?
I think when you – how old's Des's son? I think at that age, it's
the
like,
baby thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Grizzlies have two of these where they are. There was one game, 20 game stretch this year where they have won by 262 points. Another one where they've won by a combined 261 points. But what you see is of the top 30, 20 game spans with the biggest point differential, teams that are just blowing everybody out, everyone above them. Of the 30, the Grizzlies are on there twice, okay? 28 of the 30 either won the championship or were conference champions.
So either won or played for it.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They're just destroying people. Now, if you want to be cynical, or if you want to be, let's hold your horses a little bit, you could point out that they have played, they've beaten up on the East. They have played relative to, honestly, their other competitors in the West. They have played a much higher percentage of their games against the East. And now they're about to be tested.
I think we kind of knew, hey, the schedule so far has not worked against them. And we knew in this.
It's worked for them at a time when they've been coping with some injuries.
Correct.
And so it's all dovetailed nicely.
Right.
And honestly, they've been figuring out their new offense and whatever else. It's all dovetailed nicely. Now, 12 of their next 14 are against the top 12 in the West.
Yeah.
And 8 of their next 12 are on the road.
Well,
so
to your point, this is an unreal stat.
We are about to, like, if that is one of your points of skepticism, well, we're going to see that tested now.
12-3 against the East, and 2 of the losses are to the Nets.
Right. Now, for example, they're 12-3 against the East. Do you have the? Do you have the others there?
Yep.
Or do you have like how many games has San Antonio played against the East by contrast?
So San Antonio against the East is only 2-1.
That's my point.
And 13-12 against the West.
Let's take Oklahoma City. So Oklahoma City right now, the Grizzlies are second in the West. The teams around them, the Grizzlies have played 15 of their games of their 29 games. Against the East, how about Oklahoma City? And then right behind them, how about Dallas?
Oklahoma City 6-0 against the East, 16-5 against the West. Houston 7-2 against the East, 12-7 against the West. I don't know if we said the Grizzlies are 8-6. I don't know if we said that against the West. And then Dallas is 6-2 against the East, 12-8 versus the West.
So you see the difference there.
Yes,
the Grizzlies have benefited and did over the weekend as well. There was no Trae Young, in fairness. There was no John Morant. There was no Trae Young. But they are an absolute wagon, and it's been a lot of fun to watch, and you can get in on that. Listen, I don't even think, like, people are having to beg people to go to Memphis Tiger games. Hey, everybody, please, come, please. You should be rushing down to go to Grizzlies games because it is an absolute show. So shout out to the Grizzlies for doing what they did over the weekend. In terms of the Tigers, well, that was disappointing, Jeffrey. I think we can say that was disappointing. They did. We'll see ultimately what the fannies in the seats were. It's funny. People get so exuberant about this. I was listening to Jason and John last week, and John was like, I think they're going to have a sellout. I mean, you nuts? If you can actually get 12,000 people in the stadium in this day and age, that is a massive win. If you can get 12,000 in the stadium, again, Cameron Indoor doesn't hold 10. So if you can get 12,000 in the stadium, that's a massive win. I suspect they did not because announced was 14,565, but I bet it was more north of 10 or around 10.
This is the thing I would like to calculate. I feel like what you need, at least for TV, you got to have the bowl full.
You got to have the lower bowl,
and then the club. Because I think the other big problem is, I mean, isn't it something like 48%
of seats
are up top?
We've seen the problem. One of the problems is that, and one of the interesting things is there's, and this is true for Tigers and Grizzlies, there's too damn many seats upstairs. It's just true. And as they are redoing FedEx Forum, one of the thoughts originally was to just redo the bowl, right?
Yeah, and then that got expensive.
They're not doing that.
Yep.
Like, they are doing things. They're doing significant things, but they are not changing that part of it.
And you basically have to pay for a new arena.
That will be a continuing problem. But then the problem that goes with it is just interesting how spoiled we are as people. And maybe it's because TV is so great or whatever. And now I'm going to sound like an old man, partly because I am kind of an old man, when I was in college and I had a share of season tickets to see the Celtics, of course we sat upstairs.
Right.
And I was thrilled. I didn't feel like a second class citizen. I didn't feel like, well, I'm not going to go if it's upstairs. I was thrilled. We felt so lucky that we bought them the year before Larry Bird got there. It would be like buying the Grizzlies tickets the year before Ja got there. And to just be in the building, just to feel the excitement, to be able to look at that firsthand was something. Now, I feel this, I'm guilty of it. Like, if we're giving away Grizzlies tickets here, and I know they are upstairs, I'm like, does anyone really even want them? Like, what has happened to us that we have to be, that we feel entitled to sit downstairs? Arts now, is it TV? Is it because TV is so great? Is it because they gave away so many lower bowl tickets early? Like, why are people too good to sit upstairs? Every damn arena has an upstairs.
I think one is the more and more games you have, the less special it feels to go. And then I think when your option is, all right, I can go sit way up top.
Or have a massive TV. And it's all gotten much more expensive, too. And you, but I don't know. It's kind of an interesting dilemma. Anyway, here's the point. They got a really good crowd. Like, their play on the road trip, Penny's promoting it, the players promoting it. They got 14,565 was the announced, and it wasn't that, obviously, in person, but it was a really good crowd.
Yes.
Who then got to watch crap, with all due respect.
Unless you're a Mississippi State fan. Then you got to revel in it,
man. Then you got to rub noses in it. Then by the end, it felt like a home game for you. Then you absolutely got to watch your team destroy the Tigers. It was tied at 5. Then Mississippi State goes on a 13-0 run, and that is that. The end. It was put up 48 in the first half. They're up 48-32 at the half. They are up by 24 points multiple times. It was, let's be honest, they looked outclassed, outplayed, outworked. It was a debacle. It was. Like, it was one game, but it was a debacle. It just was. It was not a, and I mean, we can go through the reasons for it. But
one, Mississippi State's really good.
Mississippi State is really good. I do agree with that. But here's the problem. Because I've seen, just on the attendance stuff, right? I've seen a lot of back and forth about, and even Penny talked about this. Penny said afterwards, he said, you know, fans got to be there through the W's and through the highs and the lows, right? That's what, here you go. To me, it's disheartening because it feels like it shouldn't be. If you win, you'll decide to come back. Fans are supposed to be there for the ups and the downs. And that is, you aren't guaranteed W's. Tennessee fans went up to Columbus and showed out, and they similarly got to eat a poop sandwich. They got clowned. Tennessee got clowned. And so are Tennessee fans going to say, I'm not going to the next Vol game? No. The problem is this. And so philosophically, I agree with Penny. You shouldn't be, your attendance at one game as a fan generally shouldn't be contingent on what happened in the previous game, right? Yeah. That's not how it works. But the problem is we were where we were because of everything that happened before. So, if you'd had 7 years of Vol football where they were completely mediocre, disappointing even, right?
Yes.
And then you'd had the previous year of Vol football where they total garbage, which is what we got on Memphis basketball at the collapse last year, right? And then you're trying to get people re-engaged, or any team, forget whatever. You, because of everything that happened before, that's why where we were last. That's why it was, hey, come on out to this one. It's like a restaurant that has been really good, whatever, and that's set it to slip. People aren't coming anymore to the restaurant. They're like, oh, man, we really need you to come this Saturday. We're putting on a special spread this Saturday. Think about how much this restaurant has meant to you over the years. And, okay, we've slipped over the last few years. The quality of food hasn't been as good over the last few years. But you know what? This restaurant is so much more fun when the vibe is great and people are here. And so just come back this Saturday, and we're going to have a great time. And you'll be reminded how great this restaurant is. And then you sit down, and there's hair in your soup.
No one made any effort to make the quality better.
This wasn't just another day that was, it shouldn't be contingent on. No, of course. And here's the truth. When Penny first got here, the games didn't go up and down in attendance. People were like, I'm going to wait and see Penny. No, people got all in. They got all in. They got the crowds were great. You know, they were showing up. They were selling out Memphis Madness. Not selling out, but you had to buy tickets at that point. They were packing Memphis Madness. And then what happened was things slipped. And they slipped. And people lost faith. And they lost faith. And they got weary of it. And they got, and so, and then last year happened, which was a complete debacle. And so Saturday was supposed to be a reminder of how much fun it is. And that's why, again, I'm not blaming them. Teams lose games. It's just deeply unfortunate that, let's be honest, the last two home games, double-digit loss to Arkansas State, double-digit loss to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it, like, well, say, I understand fans are supposed to be there through thick and thin. We know they aren't right now because there's been too much thin. There's been years and years of thin. And so it's just really too bad. I just felt bad Saturday. I felt bad that that's how it worked out for everybody. Because Penny did make an effort. And Penny did get out there and try to sell this game. And the players did make an effort to try to bring people here. And instead, you got this performance.
Yeah, I don't know if bad was the word I would use. Deflating.
Deflating.
And like,
that's a version of the same
thing. And to a certain degree, it's like, hey, I'm not going to sit here and deny, like, Mississippi State deserves all the credit in the world. Like, that is a physical, good basketball team.
Oh, they beat them up, man. And I mean, we'll get to the merits of the game in a minute.
But I was at least, especially when it was very obvious, like, hey, the Penn State SMU game was going a certain way. I was like, I just kind of wanted to see a competitive something. And it was like, then you're watching this and you're like, well, this is not going to be competitive either. So it's like, okay.
No, and I want for Memphis basketball to be the thing that it has been. And so Saturday felt like a way of continuing momentum, cementing it, building upon it. And instead, and again, it is in the end just one game, but it's just unfortunate the way that it unfolded. Now, why did it unfold that way? I mean, it's interesting. Like, Tyrese Hunter said they wanted it more. I don't believe that. Like, that's what you say after you lose a game, right? You
know, I thought effort was a problem against Arkansas State. I did not think effort was a problem Saturday.
I in the end, here's the problems. Here's the problems. They committed too many turnovers, which they do.
Yeah.
They committed 18 turnovers. They were out-rebounded because they're not very big, right? Because their bigs aren't very good. Let's be honest, right? I mean, Musa gets in foul trouble, as he does. And, I mean, Dane Danger had 6 turnovers. And it's honestly, a day like today, you miss kind of Tyreek Smith, right? Like, you're like they're thin. They're incredibly thin.
I don't know if Tyreek would have made a difference.
Not hugely, but another dude, honestly.
It
would have
given him another body just to get beat.
So they're out-rebounded 46-32. They commit too many turnovers, 12 in the first half, which is what they do. They give up 19 offensive rebounds. Mississippi State was just physically better than them. And then their great equalizer has been, if you look at, except for the Virginia game, which they won even though they shot poorly,
yep,
fundamentally, they win because they've been blazingly hot from three over the course of the season. They have been, as the Clemson coach called them, elite shot makers, right? That is what they have been. Well, the last two games, and this is a point of concern for me, the last two games, they were 8 of 25 from 3 against Mississippi State, but they have been over the last two games 13 of 50 from 3. That is 26%. Colby Rogers, after lighting it up against Clemson, he was 0 of 8, 0 of 4 from 3 on Saturday. He is now, last two games, 1 of 19, 0 of 12 from 3. Now, he will not do that. He will be better. But is it as simple as this, Jeffrey? This team is thin. The bigs are not great. And so they're going to win when they make shots. They're going to win. And by the way, Haggerty had 24, Tyrese Hunter had 19. So it wasn't like the worst thing ever, but Colby Rogers was bad, and they got out muscled, they got out physical, I don't really understand why they have so many stupid turnovers, because it's not like Mississippi State is pressing them, but they do this they turn the ball over without being pressed. And Penny's teams historically have turned the ball over, but they got, with the guards they have, why are they so freaking careless with the ball? It's kind of beyond me. Again, 6 of them from Dane Danger. But is that who they are? If they're gonna beat good teams, they have to be elite shot makers. They have to hit 40% from 3.
I think the answer is yes, but I would say it's twofold. Number one, I mean, that's kind of the way basketball is going, is in general. It's like, if if you shoot well from three, it's the great equalizer. But for them, I also think a big part of it is when they're not making shots, they can't really set up their defense, and they can't get the press going. They can't get the stuff that leads to easy baskets for them. And
they did turn Mississippi State over a bunch. Yeah. That was like, if the turnovers weren't particularly one sided, but Mississippi State, between the offensive rebounds, the turnover, whatever, Mississippi State hit 17 more field goal attempts.
Yes.
17 more field goal attempts. And I agree with that. The only game where they beat Virginia, even though they didn't shoot well, and because they played fabulous defense, even though they didn't shoot well.
And it's not like Virginia was shooting well.
But Virginia's not very good.
Correct.
Like, that's the difference. Virginia's not good. Mississippi State is good. And so what this does, again, if you had told me that the team would be, 9-3? If you told me that they would have assembled this record at this stage, if you told me this before the season, would I have taken it? Yes. Yes. Because I would have assumed they would have beaten Arkansas State, and I might assume they would have beaten Mississippi State, but I wouldn't assume they'd beaten Clemson on the road. I wouldn't have assumed they'd beaten UConn, right?
I wouldn't have assumed
they'd beaten Michigan
even
State.
Even as disheartening as Saturday was and as the Arkansas
it's
State.
It's more good than bad this
100%.
Year. More good than bad this year. Now, I do think that Ole Miss game looms large.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I kind of thought, like, hey, if you can get a split of the Mississippi schools, like, I thought
100%.
That would...
But when you lose one, you're not guaranteed the split.
No, you're not. But you can make an
argument that Ole Miss is different than Mississippi State, but you can make an argument Ole Miss is better than Mississippi State. Ole Miss, by the way, takes care of the ball better than anyone else in the country and forces turnovers.
And yeah, I was... John and I were texting about this Friday because he was of the opinion... If one of the Mississippi schools were to beat them, he thought it was going to be Ole Miss, and I was on the other side of it. I was like, I think Mississippi State
physically
can give them problems. Ole Miss can play a 10-point game against just about everyone.
Right.
And so, Ole Miss to me is a team that physically, like, they're well-coached, but they're not, like, physically imposing.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to, we're going to take a break. We're going to do the fight song roundup. Then we're going to have Chris Harrington for his, Chris Harrington has his top 10 movies.
I read it this morning.
Of the year out.
I think I had seen one.
And then we got Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday. So we have a very busy show. Before then, I'll tell you, if you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty. 901-461-8147. So if you're selling the house, I might. Who knows? If I find a smaller house, I might sell my house in 2025. If you're selling your house in 2025, if you're thinking about it, call Josh. See what he has to say. 901-461-8147 and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Don't have to take my word for it. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out your contract at any time, risk-free. And as I've told you before, the stories about people who've, I'm a little nervous about selling my house. What's that going to be like? I've never done it before, et cetera. One of the great things is that Josh guarantees that he will sell your home no matter what. In fact, can't find a buyer, buy their houses himself. Again, it's Josh Heisa, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. You know, sometimes when you get down to this time of shopping, you're desperate. And know what you do? You go out and you buy stupid things. Do you find that ever, Jeffrey? Sometimes you just go out and you buy, these last 2 days, you're racing around and you buy stupid things.
Yeah, you're scrambling.
Don't do that. Just go to Oak Hall, man. Like, don't buy stupid things. Buy enduring things. Buy things that will bring gladness to your heart and gladness to the recipient's heart. And I say this as someone who has bought many a Christmas gift at Oak Hall and received the gifts from Oak Hall. And each one, I don't know which is more delightful, honestly. If you go in today, it'll be like Christmas. And by the way, we have the benefit that Christmas and first day night of Hanukkah, it's Christmas Eve, first night of Hanukkah, I think, right? Same, but both on the Christmas Eve, 24th. So this would be a perfect time to get in there today. It'll be merry. It will be merry. The clothes will be beautiful. The people will be helpful. It will be like a Dickens Christmas in there. Only the clothes will be nicer. I have multiple times bought this. I love the Peter Millar pleated jacket so much. I quilted jacket so much. I've bought it for Son Ben and Brother Ben, both. So anyway, if you are racing around, scrambling to get your final Christmas shopping done, don't do stupid things. Go to All Call and get something beautiful and feel better about the whole season, honestly. It is a legendary store. Never better than at Christmas. Jeffrey, let's do the Fight Song Roundup. Well, I got a special request. A Mississippi State fan said, listen, we had a really tough football season. And they did. And they did. And so I got the special request, could we play the Mississippi State fight song given what happened at FedEx Forum Saturday? And so this goes to Mississippi State fans and to all those people who've had a lean year. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe 2024 didn't bring you everything you needed. Maybe 2025 will be a brighter day. And it certainly was for Mississippi State on Saturday. So there you go. My little gift to Mississippi State fans. Next, Jeffrey. Woo! Where's this Ohio State been, Jeffrey?
Woo, boy.
Absolutely destroyed Tennessee 42-17. Again, we mentioned the tremendous showing from the UT fans who went up to Columbus and then watched as Ohio State had us all wondering, as you wondered on X or Twitter, Jeffrey, how the hell did this team lose to Michigan?
Well, they lost to Michigan because they were trying to prove they could run over Michigan, when it turns out, like, I don't know if you got Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Ibuka, if you've got them on the outside, I don't know.
Henderson was great, 14 touches, 134 yards. Jeremiah Smith is sensational, 6 catches, 103 yards. Will Howard was everything they hoped he would be when they brought him in.
Shout out to the offensive line, too, because he had time to throw.
24 of 29, 311 yards. They just beat the hell out of Tennessee. Man. And it was interesting to me. I was reading some of the folks who cover Tennessee regularly. And the takeaway, the universal takeaway, seemed to be, listen, Josh Heupel has done a nice job. He has elevated Tennessee from the wreck that it was when he took over. Won a bunch of games, gets to the playoffs. But what we saw Saturday was a team with a lot better players playing a team with not nearly as many good players, like difference makers, particularly at wide receiver.
Huge.
Wide receiver, offensive line, like it was defensive backfield. Like you saw difference makers. And if you are now going to take the next step, and that's the problem, of course, whenever there's success and getting to the playoffs is a successful season, then you're like, okay, what do we need to get to the next level? Well, go get you into Jeremiah Smith,
yeah.
But that's hard to do.
There's only one of them.
And honestly, if you look right now at the portal shopping, Ole Miss is doing better, right? Like, can Tennessee find the playmakers they need? If you compare this, and I think this is the point that John Adams, who writes for the Knoxville paper, made. I don't remember who made it. If you look back at the Phil Fulmer teams that won, the Phil Fulmer team that won a championship,
yeah,
they had the best players.
Yes.
You know, like they had the best players.
Yes.
And this team, this Tennessee team does not. Good players. Not the best players. Now, they had a freshman quarterback. He did more damage with his legs than any, you know, but I would feel good about that, about him coming back.
Yeah, I saw there was a lot of Nico hate on Saturday.
I didn't see that at all.
I was just, man, based on what I was watching, I was like, who was open? And right. Then obviously Dylan Sampson getting hurt was a huge part of it.
But there's another guy you got to replace.
Correct.
They got 17 seniors. Like there's a lot of work that has to be done at Tennessee.
I think another big problem that happened to Tennessee was they needed a particular game script, and the game script got away from them. I honestly think like they got the stop on the very first series. You get the sack on third and short, And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh man, this crowd's ready to turn. Face mask. And then all of a sudden, yeah, they're having to play a lot of man-to-man coverage. And whoo, boy.
So there you go. Get the snot beat out of them. And a little couple other subtexts here is one is all of a sudden, what do you think about Ryan Day now? Well, the no one has ever doubted Ryan Day's ability to beat teams other than Michigan.
Right.
Right. And right now, Jeffrey, I don't know. Are they the betting favorite to win it? Oregon's the betting favorite to win the title. I take it.
I would still think Oregon is because they're favorite.
Oregon's,
on,
yeah, because they're favorite. Favorite the but game. Then beyond that, like, you could very well have an Ohio national championship, Ohio State, which lost to Michigan.
Yes. Which, you know, then Michigan would claim.
Then they'll think probably the mythical national championship. Yes, 100%. That's not how it works. And you'd still take it if you're an Ohio State fan.
You can't. You can't sit there and act like a championship is less
championship
meaningful.
Is a championship is a championship.
Correct. Right.
And it's ridiculous that the idea that they were the eighth seed, but they lost to Michigan.
Correct.
I mean, that loss to Michigan hurt Tennessee badly.
Yes.
You know, because then you end up getting. And then, of course, we have the seeding problems. You got the next game looks like it should be a national championship game.
Right. And it's a quarterfinal.
And it's a quarterfinal. At least we will see it. We will get to see it, Jeffrey. We will get to see it, just not as a national championship
actually,
game.
Right now I'm seeing Texas at a lot of markets as the betting favorite.
Because of their path?
Correct. Because in the end, Ohio State and Oregon have to play each other.
All right, next. Well, this was domination. It was, let's be honest, it was 27-17, but it was 27-3.
Yes.
And Kirk Cignetti, he had a great year, got a nice contract boost out of it, and talked a lot.
Yes.
And he was reduced to punting down 20-3.
Lot of cowardly decisions. There was like a field
there.
Goal to kick early.
100%.
Like, it was just, I mean, my whole deal is I saw a lot of Indiana gatekeeping over the weekend. It's like, listen, people are not necessarily upset Indiana's in it. People are upset that Indiana ran their mouth and acted like they were something that they're not. And when that happens and then you get beat like that, people are going to throw it back in your face.
And here's the other problem. I mean, we can get into this, is that what we saw, obviously, all weekend long, particularly from SEC fans, was, hey, Indiana, proving that they didn't need to be there and they're a fraud, they get blown out.
Yep.
Hey, SMU, playing they don't need to be there, they're a fraud, they get blown out. You can tell because the way they're playing on the field, look at how one-sided it is. They're getting blown out. Clemson, honestly, hung in there.
Yeah.
So,
but that was the most competitive game.
That was the most competitive thing. And so then you get to the last game, and no one is saying about Tennessee. Literally, it was the second biggest blowout of the teams that got blown out. The second biggest margin of humiliation
and without
was
touchdown
endured
under 2 minutes.
By Tennessee.
Without a touchdown under 2 minutes, it would have been the biggest.
And Tennessee, by the way, here's what Tennessee did. They beat the 10th, 12th, 13th, 15th, and 16th ranked SEC teams. That's what they did. They lost to two of the top three. They played three ranked teams. They lost two of them.
Yep.
So, like, is Tennessee a fraud? Like, this is an imperfect system, clearly. And the teams, here's the truth. The teams at the bottom of it, like the last, SMU's the last team in.
Yep.
There's going to be more arguments about SMU than any other team. SMU, the reason they got in is they had to protect the championship game. In the end, SMU would not have gotten in had they not lost by a field goal in the championship game. And by the way, if you are now looking at the blowout loss that Indiana suffered to say that they're a fraud, and the blowout loss that SMU suffered to say that they're a fraud, well, A, you should be looking at the blowout loss that Tennessee suffered to say that they're a fraud. And by the way, how about the blowout loss that Alabama suffered at Oklahoma, to a crappy Oklahoma team? At least Indiana lost to a good Notre Dame team.
Yes.
Alabama lost to a crappy, blown out by a crappy Oklahoma team. So I guess that means they're a fraud. It's the whole thing's ridiculous. I think the part of this that is, I think, going to change is the seeding part of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't need Oregon, Ohio State
as a quarterfinal.
It's just not, it's not fair that you now have Penn State gets Boise State.
Yeah. Penn State is a bigger favorite at a neutral site against a higher seeded team than they were at home.
And Texas gets Arizona State.
Correct.
That's not fair. And that's because you
also,
are
also yet again a bigger favorite at a neutral site than they were at home.
It's also true, by the way, you want to that 21 of the 32 teams in the previous system of the two games in the previous system were blowouts. Ray, I remind you, Oregon 59, Florida State 20, Alabama 38, Michigan State zip, Clemson 31, Ohio State nothing, Clemson 30, Notre Dame 3, LSU 63, Oklahoma 28.
Yeah, I think it's like a 60% blowout rate in terms of the previous.
And those weren't played on home fields. So I thought the overreactions, in the end, Alabama, don't lose to Oklahoma. Ole Miss, don't lose to Kentucky.
Don't lose to Vanderbilt.
And yeah.
Like, the thing is, Ole Miss and Alabama both got mulligans.
They both got mulligans and they lost again.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. I don't know. Like, is Tennessee a fraud?
Well, I do think a larger point is we have to figure out in this 12-team system, the unbalanced conference schedules are a real problem.
A huge problem. Because that's really where the problem came from. It's Indiana and Texas both played cake schedules.
Correct.
So did Army, for that matter.
Like, yes, the only team that had a worse schedule than Army was Liberty in the country.
And those are problems within the conferences.
Correct.
Take care of your own.
Correct. The biggest problem of the SEC is, Jeff, they're running back the schedules from last year. They're just flipping the venues.
All right. Notre Dame, by the way, gets Georgia next, and Georgia, of course, without their quarterback.
Yes, Carson Beck's.
He's done.
If you held on hope, it's been pretty obvious that's not going to happen. You know,
so Gunnar Stockton, which makes this more of a fair fight, seems to me.
Makes it much more of a fair fight. I feel like there was a lot of Notre Dame's not that good, and it's like, I think Notre Dame has an incredibly high floor. I think up front, they are legitimate on both sides of the ball. Now, if they run into a team that's going to force them offensively to score, right, then they could have some problems. Like, they do not have high-end skill positions. But, you know.
Great scene everywhere. Great scene at Notre Dame. Unbelievable.
It was fantastic. Also, Shane Gillis before on game day was incredible. Now that everybody can cheat, Notre Dame's got a chance. I've enjoyed that line. Saban kind of having to ruffle his feathers, acting like every kid that was at Alabama was just there to wear the A. It was great. It was great. It was a fun weekend minus the games.
It was a fun weekend minus the games. Next. Yeah, this game was competitive. Texas ran the ball.
Texas ran the ball extremely well, better than I expected them to.
And you know what? If I'm Clemson, I don't feel bad. Clemson, you got Klubnik coming back. He was good. And by the way, Clemson, Dabo went and got a Purdue defensive lineman.
He got two transfers out of the portal in the same week.
Oh, man.
Look out, world.
It's a new day.
No, I agree with you. Cade Klubnik in the second half.
Really good.
The whole time I was like, damn.
It's same, honestly, like, I don't feel bad if I'm, I feel, with Tennessee, I feel good about Nico. I'm interested in the weapons they're going to have around him. But at Clemson, I feel pretty good about Klubnik.
No, the one thing I would be concerned about if I were Clemson, when you fought like hell to get back into the game and you just needed one more stop, like, you couldn't even stop the run.
No. Texas has Arizona State coming up next. And finally, let's wrap this up with... you called it the big win. Will it count as a big win, Jeffrey?
It's the James Franklin special
will
here.
Will it can't... That was just... Yeah, you know, SMU was moving the ball. You're like, okay, maybe this 2 pick-6s. Holy smokes!
Well, and
talk about taking the
air
out.
Think about the first drive. They're moving the ball,
and they go for it.
They go for it on fourth down. Just run it, Kevin.
Just run it.
You're there, and like I get it. The guy's open. Get the first down. Just get the first down. And move
get
on.
Get the first freaking down. It did feel like you look back at that. You know, whatever. Penn State was dramatically the better team, but. Those 2 pick-6s, and again, that you're exactly right. That fourth down, that SMU rushed the ball 36 times for 58 yards.
Even sack adjusted, it was 2.8 a carry.
Yeah,
this game was won by Penn State's defense. Penn State's defense was unbelievable.
Penn State's defense was unbelievable. Best units, Ohio State's offense. Honestly, that to me, the most surprising thing maybe here. Was Ohio State putting up 42 on Tennessee? I didn't think they'd put up 42 on Tennessee. Like, I expected low scoring in that game.
I didn't think they would. I did think they could.
I could see that.
Because, like, I told you, I was bound to get that game wrong no matter what. And either if I picked Tennessee, then they would get shredded through the air because their secondary really hasn't been tested very much this year. And we saw, like, they could not hang with those receivers. I mean, how many times were guys just, like, wide open?
All right, we're going to take a break. We got Chris Harrington coming up next, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Before then, I will tell you, if you are, if you're racing around, we're all racing around at this point, nice thing to do would be, in an extra gift, head to the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. They have beautiful frames there. I was listening to a show on the radio, and they said the mark of a great gift is a gift that shows you've been thinking about the person, right? And honestly, as you head into next year, think about this. If you get something framed for someone, that's what you were saying. You're saying, I was thinking about you. I have these memories with you, or I have this sports memorabilia from you, or I have this collection of photos, and I'm going to get these things framed for you. Or let's be honest, when the holidays are over, do it for yourself. Because when you get something framed at the Frame Corner, they specialize in custom framing. That's what they do. They make memories. But in the meantime, if you want to duck over today, buy a beautiful frame, put it under the tree, put it in a stocking. That's great, too. It is the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Chris Harrington, when we return on the Grizzlies, then Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.